It's Reformation time, so it's time to talk about zombies and dead people and stuff like that, right? There's always a coinciding between Halloween and the Reformation, and the reason is because the pagan festival of Halloween is held on October 31st. The Christian festival of All Saints Day is held on November 1st. That's why there's always this coinciding. It is a time for aggressiveness, taking a spiritual offensive form, going on the attack against false teaching. This has been the tradition in Protestantism over the centuries. This is the time of year that is good to have an aggressive sermon on beating back the worldliness, okay? Well, one of the reasons why is because the Reformation, you can even see it in the core word reform, was calling for change within the church. That's what Martin Luther was doing. He was a Roman monk. He wanted some of these traditions that had crept into the church without foundation to be purged from the church. We're also going to see from our text this morning in Galatians chapter 3 that Paul the Apostle had to do the very same thing. There were false teachings, compromises that were creeping into the church in Galatia, and he went on the offensive. He was attacking these false teachers and calling for a change in the church. I'm doing the same thing again this morning. I'm going to talk about Halloween and why Christians should have no part in this whatsoever. And we are going to start by recognizing the fact, and maybe some of you suspect this by the number of lawn ornaments and orange Christmas-like lights in the yards and things like this, you might sense that our society is celebrating this holiday more and more. That is true. According to the National Retail Federation report, there were approximately 60% of Americans that participated in Halloween last year, and this year there are going to be approximately 70% of Americans in 1 year difference in time. That's a concerning statistic to me, that we have a move from 60 to 70% in 1 year. That's not good. That means that there is a rapid escalation in the amount of people that are participating in Halloween. We also, at the same time, are seeing a decline in church worship attendance across the board. I saw some frustrating statistics that came out from the new surveys that have been conducted, not just from polls, but also from headcounts in churches. You know, for decades, we have been taught that there's been approximately 42% or so of people that have been attending church in our country. Well, it turns out that it's actually closer to 18.7%. Maybe perhaps you were wondering where all those cars were on Sunday morning, you know, why the highways weren't jammed and looking like heading down to the stadium for a Brewers game. Well, it's because there's not really 42% of the people that are going to worship. It's under 20%. Well, then why did the polls say 42%? Well, because people inflated their worship attendance. I guess they figured it would make them look good if they say we're really religious and attending church. Maybe it's wishful thinking. I don't know. But that number from the actual headcounts of people in churches is declined from about 20.4% down to about 18.7% over the last decade. So what are we seeing happening here? We have a slow, gradual decline in worship faithfulness coupled with a true spiking of involvement in this pagan holiday, Halloween. And because of that, authors of this article, this is a secular article from Bloomberg that is pointing this out, and its title is, Halloween's pagan themes is filling the West's, that is, North America's, faith vacuum. Interesting phrase, faith vacuum. And we're going to get to that in just a few minutes. What do they mean by a faith vacuum and what's going on? Well, let's take a look at Galatians 3. Because in Galatians 3, Paul was dealing with a situation where he says that the people in that church were being bewitched. I thought that was an appropriate word for Halloween time here, you know, bewitched. Take a look at verse 1. You foolish Galatians. By the way, how would you like it if someone addressed you as, you foolish person, you? That always makes you feel good, doesn't it? Huh? Well, in one sense, I'm being very direct when I say, look, brain dead Christians. Someone who can't get it through their mind that participation in Halloween is an exact antithesis of what you're supposed to stand for spiritually. You know what? It's like you've got some spiritual zombie thing going on there. You're not thinking. I'm not using the word foolish. I'd love to. I chose the phrase brain dead. That might be just as offensive. But you know what? I'm kind of tired of seeing the trends in this culture where Christians are caving in, where Christians are taking this nonchalant attitude towards this paganism. It's time we got a little bit more hardcore. It's time we took this a little bit more seriously. In chapter 3, Paul's frustrated with these people. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I'd like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing, if it was really for nothing? Does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? Let's stop for a moment and kind of summarize what's going on. In the church in Corinth, Paul had come in and he had taught them the gospel. He had preached to them that they should be putting their faith in Jesus Christ. And this was all good. It was all working properly. And then when Paul left, because he had sort of like a circuit ministry that he'd go to different churches and travel. And then he would write letters to these churches to stay in touch with them. Well, the church in Galatia had these Judaizers come in, these people that were telling them, look, it's not good enough just to believe in Jesus Christ. No, 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 no. You have to revert back to these Jewish customs and these rites, and you have to keep the Jewish festivals, and you have to go back to your dietary laws and commitments from the Old Testament, and you have to have ritual washings and all this kind of stuff. And Paul gets so frustrated because he's saying, someone's bewitched you. Now, the key word here for bewitched in the Greek means to envy or to tantalize. In other words, someone has drawn their interest away from the truth. They're being misled. It's almost as though someone has so fascinated them that it's holding their attention and they're not paying attention to what they should. That's exactly what I see happening with paganism and celebration of Halloween in America. There's way too many Christians that are saying, well, it's okay just to do this. It's all right. We're just having fun. The problem here we see is that in our culture, the pursuit of fun has replaced faith. That is the problem. That people are excusing commitment to God in order to pursue party mindset. Take a look at this article once again that is talking about that spiritual vacuum in our country. And it says here, There is a reason for a pull toward the pagan. In the U.S., we've been vigorously scrubbing our schools and other public spaces of traces of monotheistic religion for many decades now. Such scrubbing leaves a vacuum. The great self-deception of modern life is that nothing will be pulled into that vacuum. Half a century ago, the psychologist Carl Jung noted the heightened interest in UFOs. Remember when everything was UFOs? Remember that? Oh, we had, what is that? Richard Dreyfuss did that Close Encounters movie and all that stuff. You remember all that UFO stuff? What was it anyway? Well, remember, we've taught that when you abandon faith in the true God, because every human is created to believe in something, when you abandon faith in the true God, which you were designed to place your faith in the true God, when you give up on him or when you go seeking spirituality somewhere else, you're open to believe anything. UFOs or Bigfoot or anything under the sun. Okay? Paganism is filling the void. Christianity has been under attack in our country for decades. You know that. Obama is the most anti-Christian president I have ever seen. Our country is under assault regarding Christianity. And into that vacuum, what's filling that space? Paganism. And people are very spiritual nowadays. You ever notice that? Everyone wants to be spiritual nowadays, but they don't want to have to practice any faith. Well, that fits with paganism. Listen to this description. Children of adults who today relish every detail of zombie culture or know every bit of wizarding minutia are seeking something to believe in. Remember why I took such a hard stance against, was it Rowling's Harry Potter? And some people were saying, well, it's just fantasy. It's just fantasy. I said, this is spiritual. Christians are supposed to have nothing to do with wizardry and witchcraft and things. Many people didn't understand that. A lot of people today still think, a lot of Christians still think, oh, come on, you're being too, you know, whatever. Well, okay. As this author points out, there's something unsettling about the education of a child who comfortably enumerates the rules for surviving zombie apocalypse, but finds it uncomfortable to enumerate the rules of his grandparents' faith if he knows them. You know what that reference to zombie apocalypse was about? It's about an article that the Centers for Disease Control issued. The Center for Disease Control has these guidelines that they put out for the population, for the public. Okay? So, for instance, let's say that there is a massive flood, or let's say that there's some kind of national disaster that takes place. The Center for Disease Control has public policies that they've issued how people should react in case of one of these emergencies. And in order to draw attention to this, because they figured that there weren't enough people that were aware of their guidelines that they were publishing, they tried a little publicity ploy. And they decided to issue one of these policy statements, guidelines, for if there was zombie apocalypse. If the population turned into zombies and they're attacking, what do you do? Well, this is supposed to be a joke. I mean, it's supposed to be just highlighting the awareness that they put out these things. Well, you know what? We actually have a certain percentage of the population who thinks, yes, zombie apocalypse, it could happen. The dead could come back and attack us. We have been seeing so many years of zombie movies, so much Halloween zombie garbage, that we're getting people that are starting to believe in zombies. Our society is going brain dead. Spiritually, people are being susceptible to believe in almost anything. Even something so ridiculous as vampires. Oh, now we got these people that are, you know, in consensual blood-sucking relationships. I'm a vampire, you know? Why is this happening? Why are young people so confused and can't figure out reality? Why? Because they're jumping into the pagan pool. That's what's going on. They're abandoning the common sense and normalcy of Christianity. Why? Because it's not as much fun. Because it's more fun to party with the pagans. You see, this is why. They don't like that little bit more straight-laced, kind of narrow kind of mindset and all that. See, you know, paganism is more fun because it doesn't put restrictions on you. Well, it also kind of melts your brain. It makes you spiritually dense or dead. Okay? This is what's happening. This is why I rail against Christians, especially participating in Halloween. This is not just fun and games. This is the moral climate and direction of our country that we're talking about here. And when Christians compromise, it's like they're saying, our faith really doesn't mean much to me. I remember the Israelites. I look back at the Israelites. Sometimes I feel like one of these prophets in the Old Testament who's just going on and on about the fact of the moral climate of the country. And the prophets in the Old Testament kept warning the Israelites, do not get into this idolatry. Do not steep yourselves in this paganism. But here goes the average Israelite, and he's got a couple of these little household gods hidden in his stuff. And then they had these high places, these hills outside the town that they were offering sacrifices to Baal and other things. And they all thought, well, you know, it really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I do this. And that's the same mindset of too many Christians where they're saying, it really doesn't matter if I do this. It's not really going to change anything. And the answer is, oh, yes, it will. Over the course of time, what you're going to do is you're going to contribute to the paganizing of the country and the diminishment of your Christian principles and liberties and freedoms. That's what you're doing. And then when it all disappears and everything goes down the drain, you're going to say, we didn't think it mattered that much. But it does. You know, this week I had a chance to write to somebody to say, hey, guess what? This matters more than you think. I wrote a letter to Joel Osteen. You know Joel Osteen? He's the guy that's got that big Texas ministry in the stadium and all that. And he's always smiling. Everything's smiling. No matter what he says, smile all the time. Well, nothing wrong with being happy and smiling. But I'd prefer you get your doctrine correct. This last week, there was discussion of Mitt Romney. You know, Romney is the Mormon candidate. And there's been a big division in Christianity over the suitability of this man as a candidate because he is Latter-day Saints, because he's Mormon. Well, even among leadership, there's some confusion about this. Romney was denounced by a Texas pastor, Robert Jeffress, who said that Mitt Romney was not a Christian because he is a Mormon and that Mormonism is a cult. I would technically correct that word cult to sect. A cult seeks to draw people away and isolate them, similar to the Branch Davidians or the Jim Jones cult in Guyana, Africa. Okay, a sect will allow members to still be within the mainstream of society, but their teachings are every bit as dangerous. Well, Joel Osteen, when he was asked about this, said that while he didn't know whether Mormonism was, quote, the purest form of Christianity, did comment that he heard Romney say that Jesus is the Son of God and is a Savior. So according to Joel Osteen, that's good enough. That's one of those core issues. Well, I felt compelled. I said, you know, I got to do something about this. So I wrote Joel Osteen a letter, sent it via email according to their website. So I don't know if they're ever going to respond to this or if he's ever going to see it personally, but would you like to hear the letter? God's peace to you. Some words of encouragement and doctrinal warning for Reverend Osteen from a fellow worker in the kingdom with experience in Christian apologetics, that's arguing for the faith, and who is engaged in the work of the Word Today Worldwide Radio Ministry. Brother, I see that you have publicly stated you believe Mormons, Latter-day Saints, to be Christian. It would behoove you as a shepherd of the flock to conduct further research into the matter and to correct your public statement. The Mormons are not remotely Christian in the biblical sense of the word. They teach that Christ only won for us as Savior, the resurrection. Yet we must work to attain salvation, that is, a chance at becoming gods ourselves. This doctrine of theirs is called eternal progression. Their founders, Joseph Smith and Brigham Young, taught that our God was once a man, which is known as the Adam-God theory. If you're not familiar with the teachings of the Mormons, you need to acquaint yourself with them, for you are directing tens of thousands of Christians, and they must know the reality of this sect. Mormonism is directly anti-Christian. While common Christian terms are used to fool the public, the meanings of those terms in Mormon parlance is not even close to how we understand them. Do not be fooled by public smooth talk from LDS members, or else you will be unwittingly aiding their agenda. Further, when an LDS member says, Jesus is the Son of God, are you aware that they believe that they also are sons of God in precisely the same manner? You would do well to study the book One Nation Under Gods by Richard Ebanes, who painstakingly details the history and doctrine of this sect. From this book, you will learn facts such as Joseph Smith attempting to translate Egyptian papyri as the Book of Abraham, when in fact they were copies of the Egyptian Book of the Dead. Smith made up the entire translation, as he did the Book of Mormon through use of a seer stone. Are you aware that it is the goal of Mormons to await a time when, quote, the Constitution of the United States hangs by a thread, end quote, so that they can do away with it and take control? This is all verifiable from their own documents, as noted in the book One Nation Under Gods. Paul the Apostle was wary of false prophets and slavishly protected the church against them. It behooves you to do the same as a prominent spokesman of the word. You need to correct your misinterpretation of this dangerous sect, publicly identify Joseph Smith as a false prophet, and encourage Christians to become educated as to the gross dissimilarities between Mormons and Christianity. And then I go on and I give him my phone number, and I wish him God's peace. I don't want Joel Osteen, among others, someday to say, we didn't think it mattered, when it comes to what certain groups teach. And in the same way, I don't want us as Christians to see this country lapse further and further and further into paganism and farther away from godliness and the Christian blessings that we've experienced. And I don't want us someday to sit there and say, we didn't think it mattered. I want you to make that commitment, that the next time someone wants you to participate in a pagan festival, or that they want you to act like pagans in immorality and indecency and all of the worldliness, I want you to stand strong, and I want you to say, you know what? I'm a Christian. I don't do that pagan thing. Amen.